Live from Music Row in Nashville, this is Roy Mathock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour.
Good morning, Roy Mathock Jr. here, and we are going to be talking about a lot of things this morning. Everything about making money and saving money. That's what this show is about. It's about doing the two things that you have to do if you ever want to get free, and that is you got to make more and you got to keep what you put aside, because you know, it's not all about making money, but at the same time, making more money will help you get financial independent quicker. And you know, when I first got started in business years and years ago, and I keep saying years and years ago because I keep getting older, I guess that's a good thing. I'm still above ground, as my dad used to say. And but the longer you live, the more you learn things. Hopefully you do. And you start thinking about, how did I do it if I became successful financially, if I built a business, if I did something like that? What are some of the things that I did that caused positive results? And then what are the negative things I did that caused negative results? And one of the things that I know is that if you're very good at taking an analysis of what has been going on, that allows you to start moving forward. So if you know, I went to listen to a guy years ago, and I still do, a friend of mine, Tom Hopkins. He was a trainer, and he said, when you make mistakes, it's nothing more than negative feedback needed to change course in my direction. And so for some of you right now, you're getting negative feedback, which will allow you, hopefully, to change course in your direction and start moving in the right direction right there. And so I'm going to start out this morning about how you go from point A to wealthy, how you go from making bad decisions to making good decisions. And then from there, we're going to talk about a plan if you're at or near retirement, what you need to be thinking about, kind of a retirement recommendations. But I wanted to start out, you know, back, I go back in time, and I entered into business for myself when I was really in college, and got into sales. And I was one of those guys that came around with the Cutco knives. I actually sold those things and did that for about 4 years, and made money. And it really taught me a lot of things about dealing with people and hard work and working on my own and stuff like that. And then I entered the financial business. And that was in 1984, and I was doing that on a part-time basis. And I'll never forget, I went to a conference, and that's something for you right now. If you're young and you're listening in, you know, knowledge is one of the things you want to acquire as you're growing up. The more knowledge you have and what you do with that knowledge allows you to start moving in a positive direction. And I went to that, and a guy said, you know, if you want to become wealthy, the first thing you need to do is you need to go buy a book called Think and Grow Rich. And that book will tell you the plan of what the wealthy people, self-made people, the guys that went out there and the gals that went out there and did it on their own, a step-by-step plan on how to do it. And it was written by a guy named Napoleon Hill. And Napoleon Hill was hired by Andrew Carnegie to go on a track, we'll call it, that his job was to interview the self-made people. And Andrew Carnegie is, you know, at that time would be the wealth of Bill Gates and things like that, Carnegie Steel and all that kind of stuff. And so anyway, he went about over a period, I think 20 years, writing a book from the interviews. And one of the first things that they talked about was that you got to set huge goals. You got to set a huge goal, begin with the end in mind. In other words, where do you want to get? And I remember I've got, still have to this day, I have the actual original paper. On January 12th, 1986, was the first time I put my goals on paper, and I set my 10-year goal of where I wanted to be. Now, I didn't set a 10-year goal to be, you know, have 500 bucks in the bank. I set a 10-year goal to go from where I was at the time to becoming financially independent. At the time, I was 25. I put that on paper and I started reading that. And I read that stuff over and over and over and over again. And I started developing subconsciously a plan of action to get my thinking right. And when I got my thinking right, my actions started becoming right. And so if you're out there right now and you're trying to get started, or maybe you've gotten yourself to a point, you know, you're 45 and you're worried, you know, you're 55, you're worried and you're like, okay, I got 10 years. What am I going to do? How am I going to go about doing this? You know, I'm behind. I don't want to be sitting there old and broke. I want to do something. Well, the first thing you need to do is you need to go out and buy that book, read that book, and understand that anybody, if you apply yourself, it takes about 10 years to put yourself in a position really to be potentially financially independent. I know in my case, I took care of the money game when I was 35. I knew at 35 that I had done enough already that I wasn't going to have to worry about whether I'm going to be able to feed myself or take care of myself. And so it started with that. So the first step is you set huge goals, huge goals. The next thing you do is you stay laser focused on those goals. You know, everybody has setbacks. And so you focus your attention on where you want to end up. You focus your attention on where you want to end up. The third thing you do is you manage your time and make sure that 80%+ of your time is spent on things that if you repeat it over and over again, it's going to take you towards your goal. You know, I see people all the time, they just waste time. They don't do things to allow them to get where their goal is. You know, if you're in my mind, it's real simple. If you want to be good at something, you need to spend time on things that are helping you to get good at it. For instance, either reading about from people who are good at what you're trying to accomplish. And in the case with what we're talking about, we're not talking about, you know, sports or anything like that. This show's about making money, raising your income, and then taking the money you earn and doing something with it so one day you can get free, get the thumb off of you. So it starts by making sure that you spend your time wisely working toward that goal. So what is wise time working toward the goal? Knowledge and action. That's what I tell people, knowledge and action. So if you have a goal right now, you want to raise your income, you should be doing one of two things. You should be attempting to do what you want to be doing, meaning if you have whatever type of job you have or business you have, you should either be learning, reading about that business so you can learn how to do it correctly and get better at it, or you should be actually attempting to do that business so then you get trial and error working for you to where one day what happens is you have learned a lot from your own experience. And so you manage your time wisely, and then you realize that if you want to get successful, you've got to have an unbelievable work ethic. You've got to work hard to be able to get where you want to go. And then you start doing these things, and you say, man, this is common sense information. Common sense, you know, have a big goal, focus on the goal, manage my time, spend time learning, spend time working toward my goal, do the thing, get your experience down, work hard. Wow, isn't that amazing? People are like, wow, that's common sense, but how many people follow common sense? So here's what I would say to you right now. If you're having trouble reaching your goal, ask yourself, what did I do in the last hour? What did I do in the last day? If I keep doing what I did in the last day, will I be able to reach my goal? And so what we're going to do today, we're talking about the front end, you know, making money, but we've got some great things coming up. 737-9522, 615-737-9522. You can bring your calls at that, or you can email me at roy@roymatlockjr.com, and we'll be right back.
This is Roy Mathlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour. Now, back to the Money and Business Hour with Roy Mathlock Jr.
All right, we're back. Roy Mathlock here, and we have been talking about developing your plan. You know, when you want to get ahead, you got to make a decision to get ahead, and that is geared around two things, making more And then as we go throughout the show, we'll talk about what to do with your money. Our call-in numbers are 615-737-9522. We'll take questions on, you know, starting a business, what should you be doing, that kind of thing. And also we'll be talking about your money questions. But right now, if you're a small business owner, you need to know about how to market yourself. And I have Judy Monroe from Definite Contact on. Judy, are you here?
I'm here, Roy.
All right. How are you? I'm very good. We're talking making money, and if you're a small business owner, you've got to have an internet presence, and that's what Definite Contact does. So what are some of the things that if you're a small business person out there trying to get your business on the internet, what should you be thinking about?
Well, it's when you come to marketing your business, it kind of goes along the same thing you were talking earlier about making a plan for your life. You know, you've got to create a marketing strategy of some kind in order to grow that business. And unfortunately, a lot of small business owners don't do that.
Yeah,
So when you're talking about on the internet, it's basically the same thing. You're going to figure out what's your goal, what's your plan, how you're going to get there. So what we do is, you know, I mean, we start by creating a way to attract people online to your business. And then we figure out how to, you know, capture and nurture those people through your system and then turn them into customers.
And then and in doing that, I know, you know, people wonder, say, how do I be on the first? How can I get my business on the first page? And what is that's in the attraction system. What are some of the things you do to get, you know, the lead generation if you're a small business owner?
Well, you've got to work on your presence online. You've got to have a credible website. You've got to have good content. If you're a local business, you got to make sure that your local listings are up to date, the information is there, so that you position yourself as the number one person. If you're talking about how to get on the first page of Google, best way to do that is through paid advertising.
Okay, so that would be like Google AdWords as an example.
Correct.
I got
yeah.
you. So you advertise, you position yourself. What is a local listing for a business?
Well, a local listing is where you're looking up anything like a dry cleaner or anything else, local drugstore, hardware, whatever, and you're in your area, and what pops up there is the local listing of those businesses, and it gives them directions, it tells you website. All that information, your name, your address, your phone number, has to be accurate, or Google's not going to present you in those top three listings that come up on local listings when you're in your area.
You know, the thing that if you're a small business person, realize that those local listings don't just happen. You have to do that. You have to actually
right.
get them put up. And That's then once right. once you do that, now you've got an internet presence to where at least you're known out there, and Google says, hey, that's a good job. We at least know you're alive and well, so we may give you a little bit of help by throwing you on the front page. So then you said you attract, and then at that point you capture the name and nurture that name. What does that mean?
Well, I want to go back to a point on the local listings too, Roy, is how important testimonials are to your business and making sure that you're getting the reviews. Because when you're online and people are looking up your local area trying to find you, reviews are very important because people base their opinions off of that. So that's another aspect of local listings that is important.
Yeah, because if you don't have your Google page, you don't get your Google listings or your
right.
reviews, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right, continue.
Okay, we're going to talk about how we're going to attract people to the business, either through paid advertising or any other kind of lead generation, whether you're doing Facebook advertising. When somebody comes to your website, what are you offering them? Is there anything of value that you can offer them to get to know your business a little bit, position you as the expert in that field? There's several different strategies you can get to actually capture people's names and emails to get them to start engaging with your business.
Okay. So what Judy does and Definite Contact does is help small businesses do these kind of things. And so if they want to reach you, how do they go about finding you?
You can go to definitecontact.com, call 615-915-4460, or go to RoyMatlockJr.com.
Yeah, and you can click on marketing advice right at RoyMatlockJr.com. So very good, and you will be hearing from Judy giving marketing tips. So if you're a small business owner and you want to get your plan in place, give them a call. So thank you, Judy. Okay, we're going to continue and continue talking about, you know, building the income. This first half of the show has been really about that. You know, even the internet marketing stuff for small businesses, I mean, today, I mean, that's the big part of it. And so if you're trying to move your income forward, I would recommend that you find a way to get involved in something where you have some ownership, where you can do things that will allow you to build equity in your business, and then you can go out and do it. Don't think you can't do it. You can do it. And so wealthy people, what they do, the reason they become wealthy is they focus on things that cause them to financially move forward. They set huge goals. They focus on their goal. They manage their time correctly, spending it on knowledge and activity. They have an unbelievable work ethic. They work harder than the most people do. They understand that, you know, work six, rest one kind of goal. Work half days, you know, 12 hours, stuff like that. And so what happens is you put that time in and you create the equivalent of an avalanche of momentum that drives you, realistically can drive you throughout your entire life. They spend less than they earn. We're going to get into that in just the second half about spending less than you earn. But the bottom line is that they save money, which allows them to stay in business. It also allows them to invest in their business. It allows them to weather the storms that always come along. They're persistent, even though everyone is getting setbacks. They get that. They understand that. But here's another one. They hang around people that are achievers. All you got to do is look at your friends, the people you're closest to, and that's going to give you about the income and financial security that they have is about what you're going to have. So generally speaking, the rule of thumb is if you hang out with people that are moving, that are ahead of you, they will help you to move forward. If you hang out with people that are below your situation, they're probably going to drag you down, because there's a reason always. You know, success always leaves clues, and those clues usually are hard work, knowledge, all the things I've been talking about. So you want to find people that will help you move forward. You continually learn and grow by doing that. Then you have to take a risk. You know, I wish it was guarantees and big income went together, but they don't. Usually there's risk in big income, but you got to take calculated risk. So you got to go in there and do your homework and make sure that when you're out there, you're doing things that are not stupid. You don't put all your money at risk, but what you do is you do things that allow you to move yourself in a positive direction. And then lastly, they're generous with their money. You know, some of the, you know, the wealthy people are the people that tend to be very generous. And interesting enough about that generosity, it usually comes right back to them and helps them earn more money. I don't think the majority of wealthy people do that. I think they just feel like, hey, you know, I've been blessed to do well, so I'm willing to help other people, you know, to move forward. But the reality is that, you know, that's the kind of things, you know, it's just a law of reciprocation that when you help people, it allows you to do that kind of stuff. And so this morning, as we go through this first half, the first half was about earning money. And I hope some of you out there, if you're in a situation where it's a little dark right now, you realize that you can take, and in a short period of time, change your situation. So let me give an example, and we're going to go to the break in just a second. But the changing of your situation is you set a goal that over the next 24 months, you're going to get great at something and you're going to double your income. The second thing you're going to do during that time is you're going to find out a way to where you can cut some expense. I don't care how much it is, but the one thing you're not going to do is raise your expenses after doubling your income. Now, how do you double your income? You work harder, you learn more, you change jobs, you do things like that. But the bottom line is that you earn more, keep your expenses at or where they're at, and then you're on the track. So 615-737-9522, and we'll be right back.
Now, back to the... This is Roy Mathlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour. Now, back to the Money and Business Hour with Roy Mathlock Jr.
All right, we're back. Roy Mathlock Jr. here talking money and making money. So far, we've been talking about making money. And the reason I always talk about making money is because the first step, if you're making an average income that you can really help yourself, is to raise your income. You know, and it may be that you need to go make some extra money, get a part-time job, change jobs, do whatever it may be. But a lot of times, you know, you're sitting there and you're like, golly, I don't have any money. Well, maybe you need to make some more money. Maybe you need to work more. Maybe you need to do some things to improve your education so your value proposition to a job or an employer or a business is more valuable. So therefore, you earn more money and you demand more money. And that's the way that works. You know, if you have great skills, you never have to worry about job security, because someone, if they don't value you at your place, trust me, somebody else will. I'm always looking for people that are hard workers, that are smart, that want to work hard on their situation. If you want to get some great information on money, or if you want to reach any of our advertisers, you can go to roymatlockjr.com. I would encourage you to download the book, How Money Works. It's a great book, 30-plus pages of great information that we put out. Also, if you are looking to find a way to change careers or maybe earn additional income, I train people to do that. If you're listening to me today and you like the kind of mindset that I have, we have a team of people where we teach you how to get involved in a business. And so with that being said, we have a call-in number if you want to ask financial questions. We're going to be going into retirement recommendations in just a minute, 737-9522. You can also email me at roy@roymatlockjr.com. But we're going to talk real estate right now. And real estate, one of the biggest things that you ever spend your money on is your home. And I have Angela Peach with Benchmark Realty on the line. So, Angela, talk about the real estate market.
Hey, Roy, good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome.
So we're having a great year so far in Nashville, and the Nashville real estate market. Closings are up 2.8% this February compared to last February.
So real estate business is still strong here. You know, we've had the boom in the real estate market. So what's different now?
Well, right now, the biggest difference is that we have a great supply of inventory. So this February compared to last February, we have 28% more homes on the market and more homes for buyers to choose from, which is a great thing for buyers, and it's still a great market for sellers.
So what? So we got 28% more homes on the market, but comparatively speaking, how do we compare to the months of, inventory compared to, say, other markets?
Well, we have a 3.6-month inventory on the market right now, which is a very healthy market. Anything less than 6 months inventory is still considered a seller's market, but I feel like we have a much more balanced real estate market right now. We are in a situation where buyers are not having to get into this crazy bidding war that they have for the past few years, but also sellers are still getting close to their asking price or even their asking price, and they're getting their home sold at a very good price. And so really everybody, it's a win-win for buyers and sellers right now.
Yeah, so right now what you've got is you don't have the sellers taking charge and saying, you know, turning their nose up to offers and getting above above asking price and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's a fair price. And so if someone's wanting to sell their home, what do they need to do right now?
So the first thing you need to do if you're looking to sell is to find a highly qualified expert realtor to handle your listing. because of the increased inventory, you've got a lot more competition. So it's vitally important to make sure that your home is in tip-top shape and it's staged and it is going to be able to compete with the other homes that are on the market. Now, that can take a month or two depending on what is involved. So it's better that you go ahead and get started now because you may need to paint or you need to make some updates to your home or change decor and those kind of things in order to be able to present your home in the best possible way.
Yeah, and if you put, you know, if you're out there selling your house right now, it's been proven over and over and over again that if you stage your house along, you know, just painting the house or getting rid of some junk, it will help you to bring a lot more for your money. And then if you're trying to buy a home right now, what are some of the things you would tell people?
So if you're wanting to buy a house right now, the most important thing is to make sure, first of all, that you have your financial house in order and that you've been eliminating debt and you've been saving money through down payment. So if you've been doing that, then you can move on to the next step, and that would be to find a really great realtor, someone that is very experienced in the area that you're looking in and someone that has a great track record and would be considered an expert. So that realtor, they can help you find a good lender. So that's the next step, and that would be to get pre-approved for a loan. Because once you get pre-approved, then you're going to know how much house you can actually afford. So once you're pre-approved, then you and your realtor can start looking at homes that fit into your criteria, and then your realtor can also just help you navigate the process of buying a home and make sure that you have a very successful experience and ultimately make it to the closing table.
Okay, so do you know any good realtors?
I know lots of good realtors, but I'll give you a shameless plug. I would recommend, obviously, myself. I feel like as far as a listing agent or a buyer's agent, that I'm an expert. And as far as listing, I have a great, highly proven marketing strategy. I'm going to help get your house looking amazing before we ever put it on the market. And then once it goes on the market, my marketing strategy is going to get your house sold, and you're going to be really happy with the price that we get. And as far as a buyer's, I love working with buyers. It is just very rewarding. And I will make sure that your transaction is as smooth as possible and as stress-free as absolutely possible.
Okay, so how do they reach you if they want to get in touch with you and get their home sold, or they're looking to buy something to get representation?
Well, there's lots of ways to reach me, but you can visit my website at nashvilledwell.com or connect with me on social media, Facebook, Instagram. Just search Angela Peach Realtor and it'll come up, or give me a call or text at 615-403-4076 or at my office, 615-432-2919.
Okay, well, that's Angela Peach, and we will be right back after a short break.
This is Roy Mathlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour. Now, back to the Money and Business Hour with Roy Mathlock Jr.
All right, we're finishing up today, and we're going to spend the rest of the time talking about retirement recommendations. And, you know, we talked about the first half, and most of the day today has been about, you know, trying to find a way to make more money. We talked about, you know, the goal, the plan, how to go about doing that stuff. And I made some recommendations like Think and Grow Rich, the book, if you haven't done that. Now we're going to get into retirement recommendations. And, you know, that's what I do. I help people with their money. And if you would like to meet me or one of our people, go to roymatlockjr.com, and you can actually call 24 hours a day, and we have a service that'll answer that at 615-843-2999, or you can download our copy called How Money Works, and you know, set up a 10-minute phone call to find out if it can help you. So with that being said, we're going to go into retirement recommendations, and I talk about retirement recommendations because there's things that you got to do. Realize that when you move into this at or near retirement, or if you're actually at retirement, this is all about income and cash flow. Everything is about income and cash flow. Now, when you're accumulating money, it's about asset size. You want to see what you can do in order to create the biggest asset that you can draw from, so you can, you know, stop working one day and know that you're not going to run out of money. And so what happens is, to begin with, we want to create a cash flow. So one of the things that you look at, you say, well, how can I reduce my monthly payments as it relates to debt? So I need to pay debt off. If I've got a car payment, I need to get the car payment paid off. I need to get the consumer debt paid off, all that kind of stuff. I need to take a look at the amount of money that that I have left over at the end of the month and find out, you know, where's my budget going to be? You know, if I see people that have consumer debt, and I say consumer debt, that's cars, credit cards, and they're at or near retirement, you can almost guarantee they don't know how to set a budget up, and they don't know how to do things to cause them to be able to spend less than they make. And so we're going to talk about that, do some of the things like, you know, put it on paper, you know, go back to the old old envelope system where you put money in so much per week. You know, I did that kind of stuff for many, many years, where I put so much cash in my pocket and did that kind of thing. Now it's a little more automated with a debit card or something like that. But either way, I still move money each week into my what I call personal spending account. And then that way, you know, I know about what I've got, you know, in at the end of the week, I slow it down, and then that way I know how much I'm spending and where I'm supposed to be. And so, you know, I don't recommend you pay off the mortgage, but you might want to refinance your higher rate mortgages because, you know, you don't, there's no reason to, don't try to refinance after you retire, try to refinance before you retire. You consider reverse mortgages. A reverse mortgage is a product that, you know, I believe has a lot of use, especially for people that, you know, you're at that stage where you've got some money, but you don't have a lot of money, but you got some equity in your house. A reverse mortgage will allow you to either eliminate the payment. If you've got 50% equity and you're age 63 and above, you can eliminate your payment. That doesn't eliminate any cost. You still got your taxes, insurance, but out of your pocket each month, you're not having to do that. And understand, if you're going to do a reverse mortgage, that you're eating your equity up, but by taking in and cutting that cost, you may save yourself, you know, $1,000 a month, whatever your house payment is. Or if your house is paid for, you can actually get cash out on a reverse mortgage and turn that into an income stream. So you pull your equity out and have an income stream. Now, keep in mind, I have people all the time, they tell me about that. They say, oh, I don't know if I want to, you know, give up my house. Well, you don't give up your house. What a reverse mortgage is a flexible payment mortgage. What that means is that if you want to pay the interest on it, you can pay the interest. If you want to pay the principal down, you can pay the principal down. But you don't have to. And what happens is, when you pass away, your beneficiaries will own a home that has a mortgage on it. And depending on how much the mortgage is, they'll have X amount of equity in the house. You know, one of the things that the mortgage companies do is they don't want to lose money on the house, so they always maintain equity in the house. And unless something weird happens, more than likely, you know, 15, 20 years down the line, your house is worth more money and your equity didn't get hurt that bad, because even though you owe more on the house, your house is worth more money. So you might consider that. You need to determine if you need life insurance. Most people, when they get out to retirement age, they really don't need life insurance, maybe just a little something for final expenses, things like that, because the idea behind life insurance is to replace income. I always tell people, you know, you have a husband and wife have incomes, or if you're single, you have an income. If you have children, whatever it may be, that's your business. And what you want to do is manage your business at a profitable level. How do you do that? Well, if you're earning $100,000 a year, you want to make a profit. The profit is your savings that you end up with at the end of the year. So if you go in and you fully fund your retirement accounts and you become what I call a retirement superstar, is somebody that always funds their retirement accounts. They fully fund their retirement accounts. And every chance they get, they put their money into the retirement account, and they make sure that they get that done. And so you're making a profit on your family business. Now, if you have a family business that's making $50,000 each, husband, wife, maybe two earners, and something happens to one of you, you need to have life insurance. And so life insurance should be bought as an income replacement. So if you're 45 years old, making $50,000 a year, and expect to work 20 more years, you've got $1 million of income coming in over the next 20 years with no raises. So then at that point, you buy a good term policy. Like if you're 45, you might buy a 20, 25-year term, something like that to get you at or near, you know, out past retirement. If you've earned that money and you're still living, then your income replacement has been replaced by the fact that you earned it, and as a result, you may not need that much. At the same time, if you're saving money, which is what you should be doing, you're a retirement superstar, you're maxing your 401k, taking advantage of all the matching that comes along, or if you're on your own, you've got your IRA, which now you can put, if you're over 50, up to $7,000 in each year. So if you do that, you have that. I recommend on a monthly bank draft, set up, you know, $600 and something, right at $600 a month, going into that retirement account, you're now moving yourself in a position to where your income is being replaced by your assets. And we get out there to retirement, we now have assets enough to replace income. Rule of thumb, if you're going to retire, you should set a goal of 16 to 20 times your income. There's a lot of different rules of thumb that you can go into. You know, at age 30, you should have a year's income set aside. So there's a lot of different things like that. As you get older, you need to have more money, okay, set aside to be able to get the right, you know, so you know where you're at. And so there's different rules of thumb, but I'll give you this, just kind of an example. Rule of thumb, according to Fidelity Investments, all right, is that you should end up having, at age 30, about, you know, your income saved, all right? And then as you get older, at age 40, you need to have about three times your income saved. If you're age 50, you need about six times your income, and at age 60, eight times, and then at age 67, it's saying 10 times. Now, 10 times takes into account Social Security, if you're planning on that, which more than likely you're going to get something. But the rule of thumb I always tell people is, you know, if you're at 10 times, you're probably going to be okay, but you got to be careful. 16 times is kind of my rule of thumb. If you can have 16 times, that means every year, if you have $1 million, you can pull 6%, and that gives you 16 years. And if next year the market goes up, you still pull 6%. If you pull 6% of the of a lesser amount, every year you're refinancing all the way out. So what I tell people is, retirement recommendation, we need to make sure we have about 16 times. If you're at 10 times, you're going to probably go through some of the money, but at the end of the day, you should be okay. So you want to think about that. What are some of the pitfalls you got to avoid? Well, don't allow your self to get in a position where if you went in a nursing home, you didn't have enough money. So you might consider long-term care insurance. And what that does is allow you to, in the event one of the spouses, especially if you're married, and one of you go in, it doesn't wipe you out. Long-term care, if you're married, is like a divorce. You got two households and you got one income. So you want to make sure and consider that. Some of the things you should concern yourself with long-term care is how much should I have, you know, what type of policy from the standpoint, the length of time it will pay and the amount of money it will pay, as well as cost of living increases. And you can get all those options laid out. What you do with long-term care is the same thing you would do if you have a car that you've got plenty of cash and the car's older, you may not insure it other than liability. In the case with long-term care, if you've got a good solid income, you may buy partial long-term care, meaning some money, but not a lot. Okay. You may buy less if you, less length of time if you've got pretty good income. But if you're on the borderline, you need to consider that. That's just what you do. If safety is a concern with your money, you might consider things like annuities. Now, I hear these annuity plans. Look, guys, don't allow yourself to get sucked in to some of these annuities that, you know, they say, well, hey, your income only goes up, it never goes down. Those kind of annuities, especially some of these very high fee, high surrender charge, fixed annuities, kind of thing, I would just tell you, avoid those things. They're just not, they're not good. They are, in my mind, very similar to a whole life insurance policy. Some things you should avoid is cash value life insurance. Anything, if you have a cash value plan, you need to take a look. And more than likely, if you're able to qualify, you would be smarter to get rid of that plan, get another place, a plan in place with term insurance, take that money, do something else with it. Cash value life insurance may be one of the worst investments that you can ever make. I watch Universal Life now, and some of this indexed universal product, or even some of the indexed annuities, to me, may be some of the biggest, newest insurance bad deals that are out there. And so when you're out there looking to move forward, there's a lot of things you need to be thinking about. That's what we do on this show. We help people get control of their money. And I want to encourage you to go to RoyMatlockJr.com. We have every one of our shows that I've done on the radio. And as a result of that, you can listen to a podcast. Matter of fact, if you subscribe, it will pop up on your phone and say, hey, there's a new one that you can listen to. And until next week, I want to encourage you, start working on learning. Learning is the key to becoming financially independent, to making more money. And with that being said, tune in next week. I will see you. This is Roy Matlock Jr.